always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, let's go ahead and answer some of these questions and let everybody enjoy the rest of their weekends. First, we play the most important sounder on the show.
Fuck Washington!
I was thinking about doing the Joker one of me, just in reference to my rant from earlier, but I figured that rant was enough.
Really excited for my face to be in all those clips later when people are just like, you know, how could anybody listen to this guy about the Lakers? Like, he should kill himself. And then this is not going to be good for my self-esteem later. Just seeing my face next to that all the time.
I mean, at least you'll be able to tell yourself that they're talking to me and about me.
Yeah, but, you know, my inner monologue is not that forgiving. They're going to be like, it's like, well, you know, I should have. And be like, how could that idiot Fagan sit there and just take it?
His name is Fagan. And he could have at any point told him to stop talking.
Yeah. He could have stood up for us. He also hates Lakers fans. Let's kill him.
That's probably a text you're going to get from Jen. You could have told him to stop talking. Now he's unemployed again.
You know, I think she knows better than anyone that there's no one that can get you to stop talking.
Only her. It is her. And maybe, you know, my kids can definitely do it. All right. Mockman FI7RX starts us with so little love for Adu, high intensity rim runner. While he doesn't have a jumper, does it really matter? Have you watched Jared Vanderbilt play or not play? It does matter.
Insult
it
this person.
Clearly matters.
Who just gave you $5? But I will say that, like, I think people are getting a little over their skis on Adu. He was good in summer league. I think he could be good, but it was just summer league, and he is the perfect summer league player. And we just don't know how that's going to translate to an NBA court yet. Did you not see this? I know which comment got you like that, but you didn't see this. I actually saw this shortly before we went live, right after the Bill Simmons quote I was telling you about.
Did you see? All right, hold on 1 second. So Omar is asking, did y'all see what Trump said about LeBron? I did not. Do I want to?
He implied that, well, he said, Michael Jordan is the GOAT. He's a good guy. He golfs with me. This is the gist of the quote. He said, Michael Jordan's the GOAT. Like, he's the best. He golfs with me. That's a cool guy. LeBron doesn't really like me so much. He might be racist. And I only like people that like me. Which the end of that quote is actually like sort of shockingly, like kind of honest. He's like, well, I only like people that like me. It's like, yeah, you know.
Well, we know that's true.
That seems to be true.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, he just like, he implied honestly, that LeBron that was tamer might not than I like thought. Him like, because he is racist was sort of.
Why did it come up? Like, why is Trump talking about LeBron?
I don't know. He was talking about Sophie Cunningham. So, like, I guess, it's just he gets a daily basketball question now. Is Raj going to be the Lakers Lounge White House correspondent? Are we sending Raj in to ask Trump his daily basketball question? Like, Mr. President, have you seen, like, what do you think a dude's off-ball cutting can do for this team?
I do feel bad because it was a super comment. Mockman, I apologize for being so snide and snarky there. Look, I also really, really like a dude. I think he probably has a higher ceiling than Vando because he's stronger than him. He makes me really, really nervous in that last year, every time he played, he had to sit for 2 weeks afterward. And again, the shooting with JJ Redick is your basketball coach. You have to be able to shoot the basketball, and he cannot shoot the basketball. So until he shows an ability or even willingness to do that, I think that we are not going to get the return on Adu Thero going into the season than a lot of people think. I think it's far more likely Cam Carr is a bigger part of the rotation than Thero next year.
JJ coaches like he considers not having a jumper not just a basketball failure, but a moral failure. He's like, you are a
bad person. It's a character
flaw.
You
have not put in the time in the gym to work on this. And, you know, I'm here to say, JJ, if you're such a great shooter, why aren't guys getting better at shooting under you? I want to see you. I want to see you teach them some tricks. Were you really that great at it if you can't teach it to the next generation? I want a dude shooting 40% off of your tips.
JJ looks at the guys who can't shoot on his roster as like the way that I look at people who don't put the shopping carts back in the little shopping cart lane when they're done at a grocery store. Like, that is moral failing right there.
Maybe it's like the reason Magic hated coaching, because Magic was just like, why don't you just develop the greatest floor vision in NBA history? This is so annoying that you can't do that. And for JJ, he's like, why can't you just take 1,000 jumpers a day and make 900 of them until you leave the gym?
Yeah. I don't know. I agree. Happy Valley Farms writes, teams average 45 shots a game. Paul George or PG and LeBron. No. Paul shots George isn't game. On that team.
LBJ averages 19 shots. Who is taking less shots? Maxi, Brown, Edgecombe, not even mentioning Embiid.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, they're going to have to sacrifice to make that work. It's the most talented roster that he could have landed on. And it's also the way that superstars think about the sport is like, I'm going to go to the team that has the most superstars if I can. And we'll make it work. Like, that's, you know, they think of everything through the prism of like pickup, where, you know, if you nail picks 1 through 3 and do okay on 4, 5 doesn't matter.
You do not need to do okay really 4 if you nail 1 through 3 at most pickup games. I'm just going to say the talent level is not that high. You really just need to nail the top 2.
It depends on the pickup game. Like, it depends on the court you're playing at.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think we all should do some service journalism as the Lakers Lounge community. I want everybody here to go and subscribe to Jaylen Brown's Twitch stream right now. And then the next time he goes live, I think you should all ask him like how he's developing his game to be a fourth option for the Sixers team, and like how much he's ready to sacrifice to sort of, you know, make sure that they can do everything that it takes to win behind LeBron, Maxi, and Embiid.
I do think that it might be a questionable decision from LeBron to attach his title hopes to Joel Embiid's body. Like, I don't know. Like, if he was going to make this kind of a decision and Cleveland wasn't going to be, because I honestly totally understand him not being over the moon about playing in Cleveland, given that they are getting ready to extend James Harden. Like, I don't think LeBron and James, like, those two human beings are on opposite ends of the spectrum. I know, Zeph, I probably could have phrased that better, but like, as far as like basketball worldviews, LeBron James and James Harden are like about as far apart as it can get. And like, I really think that like Harden's presence in that organization played a pretty key role in like LeBron not going back there. Miami really intrigued me. I know that it was clunky because you had like 3 power forwards basically playing alongside each other. And we've seen what that looks like when Rui, Luka, and LeBron played together last year. But Bam is so good defensively, and Giannis is so overwhelming physically that like, I think it could have made, and Spo was just so incredible as a coach that I think it could have worked. But yeah, I don't know. I'm fascinated. I'm not penciling them into the conference finals or anything right now though either.
I do think that what one thing that is clear from this latest, you know, LeBron's The Last Decision trademark Clutch Sports Group is that he values playing with a good big man. You know, from trying to get every team that he was going to, apparently, to try to trade for AD, and to going and playing.
Did you see that AD was practicing at Villanova today?
He's trying to get picked up by the Knicks. Hey, heard you guys need a Mitchell Robinson replacement.
Making 15 times what Mitchell Robinson currently makes.
Hey, you know, James Dolan said they weren't going into the second apron for Mitchell Robinson. Maybe for AD, that's a different thing.
It did make me a little sad that AD was voted one of the most overrated players in the league. Did you see that one? That one was like,
no, I didn't see that.
Man, I agree, but that stinks.
Also, to Umaris in the comments, Jaylen Brown dissed your son, though. Does LeBron think Jaylen Brown is actually like an ahead of the curve basketball savant because he has so many yes men in his life telling him Bronny would absolutely be a rotation player in year one? And he saw the clip of like Jaylen Brown being like, Bronny's not an NBA guy yet. And then he saw how the year, LeBron saw how the year played out. He's like, damn, Jaylen, personnel talent evaluator.
Or he wants to kick his ass in practice. Once a week.
I don't think LeBron's going to play many scrimmages in practice. I'm just going to go out on
one. Or like LeBron's like, yeah, JB, I got your spot. Like, oops. Let's run UNLV writes, the Sixers still have movable pieces and draft picks for Embiid insurance too. Shows the power of a good GM with Bob Myers. Still, Philly feels weird. I tweeted this out earlier, but it is a legit, like, sliding door moment where after Magic Johnson stepped down, Bob Myers and Jeannie Buss actually went to lunch together and talked about the vision potentially for Myers working in the role that Rob currently has. And eventually Jeannie, you know, decided to obviously stick with Rob Pelinka. But Bob Myers is known
saying you will keep Rob around forever, no matter what he does.
Well, he was just he really wanted the job. Masai Ujiri really wanted the job, and I think Daryl Morey really wanted the job.
Remember the shadow GM rumors? There were rumors that like they were making moves with instructions of an as yet unnamed GM candidate.
And it just wound up being Kurt Rambis.
Yeah. Was...
But yeah, like the Bob Myers thing is fascinating because one, you know, he hires Mike Gantsy, you know, and then, you know, played, I think a key role they're saying in landing LeBron here today. Bob Myers is also known for managing egos and personalities and keeping everybody kind of on the same page. And I don't think it's a coincidence that after he left Golden State, everything just went the way that it did. And, you know, if Bob Myers is there and LeBron is there and Bob Myers does a little bit more to massage LeBron's ego, even after a Luka acquisition, does LeBron take this offer with the Lakers? It's an interesting possibility. Let's go here. Intel is wild. This guy, SMH, we need a power forward. Why couldn't he sign a min deal with us? Because he didn't trust the Lakers anymore. Like I think that's very, 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 very clear.
Or feel valued.
Yeah. I think, yeah. And didn't feel valued. I think it's both of those things. He didn't trust them to build.
Yeah.
Didn't trust them to build a championship level team and didn't feel valued by the team that didn't call him for the first week or so of free agency. Let's run UNLV. I just keep coming back to if Kessler is already the best version of himself or gets hurt without him, the Lakers don't seem like a functional team. I forget who I saw. No, it is talk Franco, who I need to have on the show at some point, but he wrote about Kessler and had a big deep dive about Kessler and, yeah, my grand takeaway from it is, and this has been my grand takeaway from this offseason, is if Kessler isn't the player that the Lakers think he is going to be, and I think Let's Run UNLV puts it really well here, where if Kessler is who he is and doesn't improve to the extent that the Lakers think he's going to improve, this whole offseason is a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, outright disaster.
It's a gigantic bet on Walker Kessler.
Yeah, which might pay off. Could.
Yeah.
Hope it does. I genuinely hope it does.
I think he's good, but, you know, the health, obviously, none of us can predict. And the continue skill development? Like, we don't know. Like, I don't know enough about Walker Kessler to know how he's built and know, is he in the gym adding exactly what he needs to add right now? Like, maybe, right. But, you know.
Intel is wild. I think LeBron to the Spurs could have been very interesting. Your thoughts? They have Tobias Harris and they're good, they said. So, I'm not kidding, dude. I thought that was a fucking.
They literally did the cowherd meme. They're like, LeBron, we got Tobias Harris now. We're good.
I thought that was like a Centel. Like, I thought that was a Centel headline that they were like, yeah, we got Tobias Harris. We're good on LeBron. We're good.
Yeah, we're done. That's it.
No, I think that would have, like, he would have been perfect for them because their guards are still kind of young and he provides some creative juice. They have enough defense around him to make up for it. Like, that Spurs team with LeBron James wins a championship next year.
I was
like,
I'm just surprised they weren't a higher consideration for him. Maybe he just felt like it would be too much. Like, people would just say he's ring chasing if he joined the team that was just in the finals with, like, arguably the best player in the league at this current moment. Yeah. Maybe he just didn't want to do that legacy wise.
He's never played with the consensus best player in the league. That's a thing that he has never done. He's been
himself,
but
yeah.
Yeah. He's been it, but he's never like played with, you know, he joined Dwayne, but Dwayne wasn't really in that category either. He was really, really good. Don't get me wrong, but he wasn't like best player in the league. Good. AD was never considered better than him. So
no.
Yeah.
But they hoped he would be, but yeah, no.
PA ZT6 XU writes, "Amen, Anthony, keep preaching." No, I'm done. I'm not going to bring that up on anymore. And I honestly probably do regret some of the things that I said there. I kind of saw red and like, it's just, I don't know. My mentions have just been such a tire fire recently. And there are very, very few things that rub me more the wrong way than people questioning other people's legitimacy in anything, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm Mexican. I am consistently especially out here in Texas, consistently feel like I have to prove that I am American enough for these people. And so, like, when people tell me, like, oh, you're not a true Laker fan, I'm like, that sounds a lot like my neighbors, you know? And it just like it makes me see red, you know. Like my daughter is a little brown girl, and I know that when she's walking around in school, there are other kids who've been told by their parents, I don't know about that one. Like, it just bothers me. And like the idea that any fan,
I agree, Lakers fans not liking your takes is the exact same thing as that.
No, it's not. We can disagree. I am perfectly fine with people disagreeing with me. Absolutely, 100% fine with people disagreeing with me. I will go back and forth with people. Dude, I grew up Democrat in one of the most conservative cities in America. Like, I spent my entire life talking to the other side on stuff.
I was gonna say, you've been built. You were forged in the trenches to argue your whole life.
Yeah, right. And so, like, I'm perfectly happy having a back and forth with people who are willing to say something beyond, if you don't like it, then get out of the Lakers fan base. And it's like, don't go there. Don't go there. Cause I know that there are plenty of Lakers fans out there who bleed the purple and gold and are bummed about LeBron leaving. And the fact that some Lakers fans are telling those Lakers fans, oh, you aren't a true Laker fan. I don't like that, man. I'm not cool with that.
That's the thing about fandom is, you know, everybody's going to fan differently. Our old friend Aaron Larsoul always says, like, I'm never going to tell fans how to fan. And I, like, over the years have tried to adopt that mindset of, like, fan is short for fanatic for a reason. And people are going to be fanatical. And sometimes they're going to be fanatical in different ways than you. And that's okay.
Yeah. Shabugin writes, it's weird to see these fans haze LeBron yet twerk for the front office that sat on two first round picks for 5 years without meaningfully improving the team out of spite. It's embarrassing. I completely agree, Shabugin, that, like, yeah, I people siding with the front office over LeBron is it's not purely about basketball is what I arrive at.
I mean, in in fairness to them, like the front office has proven so much.
Right. That second assistant GM is just, you know, blows me away with the person that they were able to hire for that position. Karl Marx, LA writes, a competent front office does what it takes to retain LeBron James. He clearly makes our team better. Great fit with our two future stars. Love to play with him. Who love to play with him? And having the chance to let LeBron retire as a Laker is an obvious money grab. Yeah, I do wonder how Mark Walter feels about all this, because he lost a bunch of money by way of
LeBron's farewell tour. I actually have been wondering, I've been wondering about the opposite. Does Mark Walter coming in empower the front office to not chase that farewell tour revenue as hard as we know, like if Genie was still the primary decision maker, like that would have, you know, that's a big revenue driver for them as the small family business.
I think, and again, I'm going to write about this, and I have this pretty well sourced, but I think Genie gave Rob walking orders a couple of years ago that at the end of this contract, that was going to be the end of the LeBron Lakers partnership. That's the sense that I've gathered. Yeah.
Always something you want to decide on several years in advance, I think.
Yeah, especially while he's still really good at basketball. Shibugan again, if we get through the offseason and have minimum draft assets, Vando still on the team, and Laravia is the starting power forward, Glass needs to break, and Mark Walter needs to hit Pelinka with a steel chair.
I did not see where that was ending.
Let's see how you feel. That's it. It's going to end.
Oh, my God. Is that Mark Walter's chair?
I thought it was going to be like pink slip or like blocking paper. Boom!
it's like the Odyssey. He just like breaks through the ceiling with the chair. He drops the chair through somebody drops the chair through the ceiling to Mark Walter, who then picks it up and starts hitting Rob with it.
It's just I like break glass, and then behind the glass was a steel chair. Like not a like a fireman's. Sure? Like,
are we sure Rob's office has chairs though? He seems like a standing desk guy.
Or like a bouncy ball guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, I think he has like a super ornate leather bound chair that for some reason has zippers. Zippers. All right, my family just got home really loudly. So, Harrison, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much for hopping on here on short notice. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, I already plugged it all earlier this week.
All right, everybody, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button, please. Like, resubscribe after that rant. And I will talk to you again on Sunday.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.